Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of coffee or tea or whatever you happen to be drinking. Well, it is actually not morning. It is, what time is it? Straight up 7 o'clock in the evening on Monday, March 4th, 2024. And some people say this is marching band day because what do? You march forth. One of my fellow tuba players and fraternity brother, he posted a picture and I'm thinking it's him, but I'm not 100% sure. I guess it could be his own son, but it looks like how I remember him. So I don't think he listened to the podcast, but he posted a picture of himself with March 4th. So, you know, way to go, Juge. And appreciate that. Anyway, it's in the evening and it is, I'm just struggling here as I move a chair around to prop up my feet. It is beautiful outside. It's 70 degrees or thereabouts. And I mean, there's stars in the sky. Our security light is also blinding me out of I look in one direction, but it's the birds were just really active today, and I hear an occasional frog down there by the pond. It's not cold. It feels wonderful out here. And here it is, March 4th. You know, some years it's like this. Some years it's not. I'm thankful for every day, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, whether it's dry, whether it's rainy. I'm ready for a little bit of rain because this drought is continuing. The pond is very low. We have problems with our water system on our old farm well because the water appears to be very low in it. The hand pump works. The electric pump doesn't. But hey, it's what it is. We're just the animals are getting city water since December. But no, I was the wife and I, we were doing our evening chores and checking on the animals and putting different ones away. We've got this new pair of ducks, and I think I may have mentioned him on the last one. The male is just a meanie. He is Mr. Meanie, and we are having to separate him, and we actually took him and put him with some roosters, and he seemed to be getting along fine with them, but he found a way out, and he went through the dog pen to get to the chicken house where we've got these ducks right now, where he was, and he figured out how to get there. And I don't know how he got past the two Great Pyrenees, because if they had caught him, we would have seen a carcass out there, but he made it. He was trying to get in. So we put him back into the with the roosters, and I've got to do a little fence repair in the morning to make sure he stays. But I guess the topic kind of what's kind of weighing on my mind a little bit, not per se in a bad way, is just it's farm life. And when we had that really super cold spell, mid-January, and it got super cold, we had a couple of roosters that got their feet too cold. And I saw them, they were walking kind of funny, and I grabbed them and checked them over, and their feet were frozen solid. And one of them, well, we took them whenever we noticed that, we put them in the machine shed, which granted it's not heated or anything, but it gives them a little bit of a warmer environment than where they were. And their feet thawed out and they started walking fine, but it was like, you don't recover from that kind of freezing like that. But then again, it's chickens and chicken feet. And you know, the chicken feet are weird. Well, about a week later, one of them died and found him dead in the chicken coop. The other one, he was getting around. He was walking, but his feet were turning black. And eventually he got to the point where he was just hiding all the time in the chicken, coop. So we brought him down to a cage or a pen. Really, it's kind of like a dog pen thing that we have in the machine shed where we put one of our other roosters. He's our first real rooster that we had when we had a barnyard flock, and his name's Andy. And Andy's getting old, and Andy could not make it up the ramp into his house where he has his ladies, and he was staying down, kind of downstairs in it, not getting up where it's completely enclosed, because he just couldn't get up the stairs. I mean, he's several years old. So we brought him in the machine shed, put him in this pen, and then we brought this other chicken just recently down there because he was just, he couldn't hardly walk because, you know, the feet were going bad. And we were talking about it. His legs looked healthy. Everything looked fine above where the feet are. Well, when we went in there, he was laying a little bit funny. So I kind of rolled him to the side and then to the other side, and both of his feet have fallen off. So we got a new name for him, Stumpy. But he's looking okay. And we have him and Andy in one pen. Then we have another chicken tractor in there that's enclosed where we have Stevie. And Stevie's our blind chicken. He got an infection in both eyes when he was about 6 months of age. And I treated him with medicine for 4 weeks. And he wound up, you know, one eye is completely gone. The other is blind. And you know what? Some people, and this probably makes a lot of logical sense. If you've got a chicken that is in that way, a blind chicken, one whose feet fall off, or an old chicken, you just butcher them. And we do butcher animals here on the farm. It's only been chickens that we do when we have, dropped my phone. We had somewhere between 60 and 70 roosters 2 falls ago that we butchered. And, you know, the thought was, well, put Stevie in with that bunch. But you know what? I got attached to him. And yes, we do, like I said, we do butcher animals, but we also have a heart for animals. We care about them. And, you know, Stevie, I can go in there and he's, since he can't see, he's really kind of defensive if there's something that's out of the ordinary, but he knows my voice. I talk to him whenever I'm in there. And I can take a 5-gallon bucket, sit it upside down, sit in there, and pick him up and talk to him. He knows who I am, sit him on my lap, pet him for a while. I used to be able to pet him for quite a while, 20, 30 minutes. Now it's about 3-4 minutes is the max that he wants to do, and then he wants to get down. But he will sit there while I pet him and coo. Just like he's a turtle dove, a pigeon. Just sit there and kind of coo. And that's kind of neat. And so we, what we're going to do is build a new chicken tractor. And it's going to go into an area where we're going to have ducks and are walking around, not in a pen, hens. And we're going to have this chicken tractor set up that will be divided in two, one half and the other half. And Stevie, he can walk around fine and fine there, but he's going to peck on something that he doesn't understand. So he's going to be there on one side, and on the other side, we're going to have Stevie and Stumpy. And you know what? They still have purpose on our farm. And part of that purpose is just enjoyment. Part of that purpose is, you know, having animals that aren't perfect. We're going to call this the Island of Misfit Fowl, Misfit Toys, kind of like from the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah, they're broke. You could say the chickens are broke, but they're kind of fun too. And the lady chickens, those hens, they go in, they hop the fence, they get in where they're at, they may sit next to them. There's one, she snuggles up to Stevie every night. They're a pair, and they don't, you know, he doesn't roost, but she just snuggles up next to him. And we see the other ones that used to be, you know, more involved with Andy, that they hop into his pen. Sometimes they're just looking for food, but, you know, he was their rooster. He looked out for them. Whenever if there was an issue and he started crowing, they would come to him. They would come to him. So we've got a little bit of a, like I said, the Island of Misfit Toys. And, you know, when I was thinking about that and thinking about sitting out here and just enjoying some Earl Grey tea and just enjoying the evening, it reminded me of when I was a counselor. And I had different people that they felt broke. Not financially broke, but physically or mentally broke. Maybe it was depression. Maybe it was anxiety. Maybe it was trauma. Maybe it was a more severe mental disorder like schizophrenia. Some had been institutionalized for many, many years. Some had been, you know, were isolated from their families because they just didn't act right. Or they got very emotionally upset and taking things not as was intended and isolated themselves. But one of the things that I have learned over these decades of working in the mental health field was everybody is broke. So if everybody's broke, let's stop referring to everybody as being broke. You see, there's no perfect people. People have tried it. People have tried to create perfect people. I mean, it's a theme in different movies out there. The Third Reich during the 1930s and 40s were trying to produce the perfect Aryan race. And I mean, if you don't believe that, just go look up some of the documentaries and stuff that from years ago. It's just crazy what they did trying to have perfect people. But you know what? None of us are. Some of us are born with issues. Some of us, we have issues because of where we were born, where we lived, because not everything is perfectly equal around the world. Sometimes things happen to us along the way, mentally, emotionally, physically. There's all kinds of things that can happen to us. You know, there's some sort of a story I heard as far as, I don't know if it's not really a story, but it's kind of like, I don't want to leave a pretty corpse when I die. I want it to look, you know, like it's really lived life rough, having fun and skidded into the finish line. You know, that's, there are things that happen just over the course of life. And what do we look at? Do we keep our focus on what's not working right? I mean, do we focus on what we can't do that we once could do? Where's our focus at? I've talked on this theme many times before, but I think it's worth bringing up again. If you focus on what you can't do or what you're limited in, that's what you're going to see. And that's what you're going to focus on. And that's what you're going to be drawn to. A lot of people have chronic illnesses. A lot of people don't understand the challenges of chronic illnesses. Many of them don't until they actually experience it. But for those who have them, is that your focus? Do you see yourself as a person who is sick or a person who is disabled or injured? Is that your primary way of looking at yourself? Because I don't think that's the way it should be. I think we can acknowledge it. But we need to move into and stay focused on what we can do. What can you do? There's a lot of stuff that people can do. And there's different examples of people that I know you know in your life, and I know in my life, that, wow, they're doing a lot better or a lot more things than what I thought that they would, taking into consideration what they've been through or what they've experienced or what has happened to them. And I think in those cases, the people focused on what they had, what they still had going for them. There's a lady I didn't get to fully meet, but I got to stand next to while she was being interviewed at a world conference for the American Association of Christian Counselors. Now I'm blanking out on her name. Johnny Erickson Tata. Some of you may know her name. She used to have a program. I don't know if she still does, but she had a radio program called Johnny and Friends. Quick synopsis of her life. When she was 16, she was training to be an Olympic swimmer. There was a freak accident that resulted in her becoming a quadriplegic at age 16. And she was in a hospital for an extended period of time, then like a chronic hospital, fancy nursing home kind of thing. Eventually, she was released. I don't know exactly what she did then. I'm guessing she went home and her parents took care of her. But all of her dreams, all of the ways that she thought her life was going to go, stopped because there's limits, big limits when you're a quadriplegic. Now, fast forward. She stopped focusing on her paralysis and focused on what she still had the ability to do. She became a renowned artist, sitting in her chair with a brush in her mouth, painting. She also still had her voice and still had her mind and still had ideas and focus on what she wanted to do. She wound up forming a ministry called Johnny and Friends. And what they did as an international organization helped get wheelchairs to people who were like her, had some sort of paralysis or, you know, a need for a wheelchair or crutches or something, and they didn't have the financial means to get them. And she was such an inspiration. I'm saying it like she's passed away. I think she's still alive. Such an inspirational speaker. And it just gave me goosebumps. I'm getting them now, and I don't think it's the cold because it's still nice outside. But standing next to her while she's being interviewed at this conference was just amazing. Was so neat. You know, there's a guy who he's all over YouTube. He was born with no arms and no legs. On one of his on his hip where there should be a leg, he has a little thing that he calls his little drumstick. And he's a speaker. He's an incredible motivational speaker.
he has big challenges, but he doesn't let it get in the way of what he wants to do. There's all kinds of things that can affect us. There's all kinds of things that affect my animals, but I see value in them. There's all kinds of things that can affect you and I, but do we keep our focus on the problem or do we focus on what we can still do? I was doing counseling with a gentleman, and he was probably around 70 years old. And he was having some issues. He was still working, or had been working, but he ran into some issues where he was not going to be able to continue doing his job. And he thought, well, if I can't do that, I'm worthless. I'm just going to be a burden to other people. I might as well take myself out. He was trying to justify suicide as the answer, that if he couldn't do for himself and be 100% independent, that was the only answer. And I said, that's not a valid reason. Yeah, that's a thing you're going to need to wrestle with. We can work through. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff you're still going to be able to do and are able to do. And I shared with him about a person who I knew. And she was older than what he was and was going blind due to, I think it was macular degeneration or something. And, you know, there was no treatment for her. I said, but she is still loving life, finding the things that she can do and all this. And he said, well, she should be responsible enough to kill herself. And I thought, how sad. How sad that we can get so focused that our meaning in life centers on what we can do. And if we can't meet that expectation that life isn't worth living, well, guess what? Life is worth living. Life is very much worth living. This is an incredible journey that we have been blessed to have. And some people, it appears that they have an easier time at it. But you know what? Outward impressions are not always accurate. I've learned that over 30 years in mental health. First impressions, outward displays, doesn't necessarily reflect what's inside. We all face challenges. We all face issues. The older we get, we're going to learn about more of that. You know, my first cousins are all older than me. I on both sides of the family, both mom's side and dad's side, I was the youngest of my straight across first cousins. And you know, as we get older, we need to keep focusing on not the things that we can't do, not the things that are harder to do, but what are we able to? What are we able to do? And sometimes that may be just encouraging other people. There was a lady, goodness, I forgot about her. I don't remember her name, but I can picture her right now. She was in her 90s. She lived at one of the area nursing homes. She had crazy wiry hair. She had like a big afro of this very, very white hair. She had very large, thick glasses from the days whenever they took cataracts out. They didn't have, you know, the ability to put in a false, lens. And so she had these big, thick Coke bottle glasses. And she was in a wheelchair. And she didn't have any family that visited her anymore. I don't recall whether she had just outlived everybody or if there was a falling out or if they were just in another part of the country. But this lady was joyful. And she shared that joy with everybody. Whenever I saw her in the nursing home, she wasn't one of my hospice patients or anything, but I would see her. She would recognize me, get a big smile, and we would sit there and talk for a while before I went to see my hospice patient. And at her nursing home, I did a once-a-month memorial service for everybody in the nursing home that passed away. It was just a service that her hospice did. She never missed one of them. And as I would read the names of the people who'd passed away, I would give the people that were in attendance the opportunity to talk and share information. You know, if it was one of their friends, a roommate, or somebody that they knew in the nursing home, to share a little bit about them. She shared a little bit about everybody in the nursing home that had passed away. She made a point of knowing the people. Now, she may not have known them very well. And I remember her saying sometimes, I remember her because she was very quiet and she was, deep in her thoughts. But, I would say hi to her and she would, smile at me back. Here she was at her age in a nursing home. In a wheelchair, but living life to the fullest in the circumstances she was in. So, coming full circle, we've got another chicken in our island of misfit fowl. And he may be a chicken, but he's worth it too. We're all God's creations. So let that be a bit of an inspiration for you today. I'm going to finish up my tea and it's getting a little bit chillier. I think it's dropped a couple of degrees on the thermometer out here and I'll be going inside shortly. So have a great one, everybody. Take care. God bless.